From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series in the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he concludes a message entitled Sealed with the Spirit. The text is Ephesians 1, the second part of verse 13, in whom, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In the course of this message, we've seen that this seal places the Spirit's distinctive mark on all believers in Christ. Then it is a seal indicating divine ownership, showing that the believer belongs to Christ. Next, the seal is the witness to the believer of God's unchanging love. Furthermore, the seal of the Holy Spirit is the evidence of the Christian's eternal security in Christ. Finally, the seal is the ground of God's authority in the life and testimony of every believer. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in a few minutes. First, he takes some time to speak about the intercession of Christ, a blessed truth with which he deals in his booklet called A New Beginning.
There are very few complete success stories in the world. You take the great victories of, say, nations on the battlefield, and you realize that their so-called success masks a lot of failure. Britain and her allies won the First World War. They won the Second World War. But that success came at a great price. In many ways, you could describe it as a lesser failure than the so-called defeated German armies. In other words, human success is really very seldom complete. But there is one success story, the greatest success story of all time. It is the gospel story. The Lord Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and he saved sinners. Jesus Christ came on a particular mission. He came to save his people from their sins. And he does and will save every one of his people from their sins. He came on a mission. He came with a definite purpose in view. And there is absolutely no failure in Christ's performance of what he came to do. His aim is exactly the same as his accomplishment, and what he accomplished is everything that he set out to accomplish. So, we read, he died. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And now, until he comes again, he intercedes as the great high priest at the right hand of the majesty on high, which is to say, in the place of all heavenly power, the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes. He takes our case, our cause, and as our advocate, he pleads before the throne of God. The Bible says, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, the priests of the Old Testament all had one thing in common. They had to lay down their priesthood. It was transferred to someone else. When Aaron died, his son, Eleazar, took his place. When he died, Phinehas, his son, took his place. And so down the years, one replaced the other. But the Lord Jesus Christ has an untransferable priesthood. He is a priest forever, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. His is an undying priesthood. And today he does intercede. He does appear as our great high priest. What a wonderful comfort this is. Christians today in many parts of the world, perhaps you're one of them, are enduring great afflictions, great trials. They are facing great challenges. They feel deep perplexities. They have foes within and without. It seems to them that Satan can laugh at them. And they feel, we're going to be swallowed up. We're going to be defeated. We can't continue. Perhaps it's bodily weakness. Perhaps it's family or business troubles. Perhaps it's persecution. Whatever the cause may be, God's people in many parts of the world are suffering deep affliction. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have prayed for you. Satan does desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Let us understand this today. Let us take comfort in it, that the Christ who died for us, the Christ who rose again for us, is now interceding for us at the right hand of God. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Sometimes the light surprises the Christian while he sees. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his spirit. When comforts are declining, he grants the soul again.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Seals a believer, he tells him that God loves him, and God loves him forever. For what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That leads very naturally to the fourth meaning of the seal. It is the evidence of the eternal security of the believer. Notice the wording of our text. First of all, sealed, past tense, once and for all. When God seals something, no man and no devil can unseal it. You're sealed. Secondly, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The word unto means for. You're sealed for the day of redemption. It's not merely speaking of a passage of time sealed until. That may be taken from it. But the whole idea is when God seals you, he has before his mind the day of redemption. God secures you for the day of redemption. That is the day of the Lord's second coming, when all his people enter fully and irrevocably and eternally into the enjoyment of everything that glorified saints can enjoy. God has sealed you for heaven. Now that's the eternal security of the believer. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. There is your security. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the foundation of God standeth sure. Why? Because it has a seal. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows them. The foundation of God is not going to be moved. The people of God are not going to be lost. They are secure. There's a wonderful picture of this over in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. I'm not getting into the prophetic angle of this morning at all, but just the basic spiritual meaning. Revelation 7, speaking of the 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel that will yet be sealed at the tribulation period. What does it say in verse 3? Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now look at chapter 9 and verse 4. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. The seal is our security. Now watch it carefully. If you are sealed by the Spirit of God, the wrath of God cannot touch you. But if you are not sealed by the Spirit of God, then the wrath of God will most certainly burn upon you. The seal is our security. When we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to abide within us, yes, but the Holy Spirit seals us. He tells us of the unchangeable love of God for us, and he says, I have the mark of divine ownership upon you, and no power of divine wrath can ever touch you. You're safe for time and for eternity. That's the seal. One final thing that I want to touch on very quickly about the seal. We started by saying it left a mark upon the life. The mark of holiness, yes. But in Scripture, this is also spoken of in another way. The seal of the Holy Ghost is the ground of the divine authority that the believer has in all his service and stand. Ecclesiastes 8 and 4 says, where the word of a king is, there's power. If you go back to the book of Esther in chapter 3 and 12, when Ahasuerus's decree was going out throughout the empire, the letter was sent and it was sealed with the king's ring. And wherever that decree came, it spoke with authority. When men saw the stamp of the royal seal, they said, this is authoritative. Now then, 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, we are the epistles of Christ, written not with pen and ink, but written with the Holy Ghost. We are Christ's epistles in this world, and we are sealed with the Spirit. In other words, we have upon these spiritual epistles, we have the mark of divine authority. In other words, when we come before men, we come before them with the power and with the authority of our Master. We should keep that in mind. That's why it's important that a Christian do not try to cover up in this world that which marks him as being distinctively a child of God. Let the distinction, let that distinguishing mark be as clear as it possibly can be. Oh, I know it sets you apart from the world. But it also is the key to your authority as you deal with men. So many Christians are living in fear of man. So many Christians are living in defeat. They're afraid to be known. They're afraid to speak. They're afraid to witness. They're afraid to stand. They're living a life of frustration and a life of weakness. And it ought not so to be. That mark which distinguishes you as being different also is the mark of divine authority. How did the Lord Jesus stand? How did the Lord Jesus serve? John 6:27, he's the one whom the Father sealed. How did the Father seal him? He gave him the Holy Spirit without measure. The Lord Jesus went about in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And as he spoke with the power of the Spirit of God, as he acted in the power of the Spirit of God with all the divine authority of him who had publicly sealed him, no man could stand against him. How did the apostles in the early church stand? How did they serve the Lord? They were sealed with the Spirit of God. They had that evident mark of the Holy Ghost upon them. They weren't afraid to be counted different. They weren't afraid to let the world know that they belonged to Jesus Christ. And what was the result? The result was that they had authority in their preaching, authority in their standing. I have often quoted the words of Acts 5:32. We are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost. They spoke with authority, and therefore with great boldness. In other words, the Holy Spirit validated and vindicated their stand and their service for the Lord. This is the seal of the Spirit. God has given us His Spirit. The Spirit witnesses to us of our security, of the love of God to us, of our position in Christ, that we belong to Him, that the day of redemption will see us safe on the glory shore. Oh yes, He witnesses of all those things. That's the basic import of the seal of the Spirit. My friends, in doing those things, and I want to make this very clear, in assuring a man of his salvation, in telling him of the love of God, in telling him of his security in Christ, the Holy Ghost always leaves a mark upon his life. That mark makes that man distinctive. And that mark will give that man spiritual authority. We are not, of course, letters or documents in the literal sense. We are thinking, rational, feeling beings. We are not altogether going to be passive in this. We ought to remember, ever remember, if we're saved, I have the mark of God. When I stand before men, I stand before them as one ordained of God to be a Christian, to bear the name of my divine Master and Savior. I stand before them with the authority of God to speak this word, to testify of the things that God the Holy Ghost has sealed in my soul. Let us keep that in mind. And I want to tell you, friend, when a man, this is very important for every Christian, certainly very important for every preacher, when a man can stand before men and say, I know I'm saved, I know I have the Holy Ghost,
I know that I'm sealed and stamped and marked by God's Spirit. And however different I am from the world, and however much they may dislike it and hate it, I have God's authority to be what I am and to say that I am what I am. I want to tell you, when a man can do that, that man will not live in the fear of man. After that ye believed, or upon believing, or having believed. The idea is not necessarily of some great length of time. It's just when you come to Christ and believe, God puts His stamp upon you. You've got the stamp. Make sure that you live in the full enjoyment and the full experience, the full power of that divine sealing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.